If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love, the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is true fearlessness, flowing with light. In fact, true fearlessness is flowing with life. So let's start with a very liberating meditation. So take a deep breath and settle yourself so that your body is of absolutely no concern to you whatsoever. Lay aside all thoughts. There's nothing to be done now but to be present with our seminar, and with our topic of scrutiny. And with your next deep breath, release yourself like a thistle down from your body. Deep breath. Allow yourself to float in your imagination way beyond, into the just clear, pristine, beautiful blue sky. Allow yourself to float like a dandelion puff on the wind. Imagine that place where there's no concerns, nothing you have to do, nothing you have to think of, nothing that needs fixing. Nothing at all that is wrong that needs to be addressed. Just freedom. If you feel more secure in taking the hand of someone you love and trust, you can certainly mock that up in your imagination if you wish. But begin practicing releasing yourself as free, conscious awareness. Practice releasing yourself free of the baggage of the body, the luggage of your mental constructs and beliefs, and the heavy packing of your emotions. Just jettison them. In fact, if you like, you can visualize yourself like a rocket taking off from Cape Canaveral. And as it soars into the deep blue sky, see the various stages of its propulsion that it needed at this earlier thrust. See them peeling away and falling off. In like manner, see your own jettison being freed as you soar and gain in altitude. See yourself carried now upon the natural currents that flow like so many dimensional highways in the atmosphere. See yourself carried by the very winds of grace, of providence, of heavenly source. See yourself completely protected and completely carried in divine flow where there's no constriction anywhere. That state is our true state, our true sense of self is unlimited awareness, pure, unlimited awareness, the very sense of omnipresent beingness, of complete self-governance, empowerment, purity, but above all else, unfettered beingness. There aren't any words in a technical language like English is, a language of commerce and business, to really describe the sense of bliss and joy and ecstasy we can experience if we practice a simple meditation. You could call it soul transcendence if you like, but I think the metaphor of the dandelion puff, the thistle down, or the rocket releasing its various stages as it soars unfettered into the brilliant blue eternity. I think that captures the essence so perfectly. And if you can practice at some point during the day, when you sit for meditation, of releasing yourself like you were in a flotation tank or like a leaf or, again, the dandelion puff. So you get the idea of releasing yourself into your vastness, into that which requires no protection and no props, but allows you to be the consciousness that you truly are, that is birthless and deathless and eternally free. And tonight we're going to be looking at the various things that perhaps snag us so that we don't always experience that particular state. So while you're up in this higher state of awareness, you might want to ask yourself or go into a form of reverie in which you examine what is it in your life that causes you to stop or hunker down or restrict or resist, or deny, or reject areas of life. Because all of those would be areas where we have circumscribed our vastness and bought into an illusion. And as we allow life to source through us, through our mind, through our feelings, through our entire being, become a conduit for life. As we allow ourselves to become a conduit of the natural flows of beingness, of consciousness, of awareness, we can then begin to transcend the areas that we would normally constrict and close down and impede the flow of life. So take a look at what those are. Let these things become revealed to you as you go within, as you meditate, as you begin the process of living life as an objective observer. So But we have become incorporated with the idea that we're in a physical encasement, a body that keeps reappearing in a physical time-space continuum. And we are learning in the freeing of consciousness, in the return to truth, in the self-realization and enlightening phase, which we're in now, we're learning how to transcend both the concept of physicality and the dimensional laws that hold that particular construct intact. That's what we would call the physical world. So, in truth, we are consciousness that has become deluded into believing that it is a physical body and that the physical world is real. And, as we believe, so it seems to be. So, we hold this world in place by our belief in it. And as we release ourselves from the necessity of being loyal to illusion, and we choose to be loyal to truth, we will find the world begin to fall away. You know, it is said in the Vedic teachings that the three stages of waking, dream, and deep sleep are all illusions. That apart from the state of waking, dream, and deep sleep, that you reside eternally as the divine spirit or the Atma, which is simply another word for conscious awareness. So our whole journey is becoming consciously aware of ourselves beyond form, beyond name, beyond constriction and restriction, so that we began to meditate, meaning we don't lose awareness of that as we go about our daily life. We return our remembrance to that continually. In fact, that is the only really authentically useful use of memory at all, is to return our memory to that which we are eternally. So the cause of all fear is simply ignorance, spiritual illiteracy, and self-deception. And the cause of sorrow is also fear. Sorrow is caused by fear of loss, because we're attached to illusory objects, which have an obsolescency factor built in. All forms are transient, because all forms exist just for a certain cycle, and then they dissolve into the absolute. And we're also attached to temporary states, trying with all of our might to keep things from changing in a world whose very nature is change. So, what is true fearlessness? Well, when you have steady faith in an integral vision, which means a vision that is integrated and homogenized, if you will, with truth, and when you constantly think of the indwelling divinity, you will not become elated by joy, nor will you shrink away from sorrow. It is only then that you will become completely fearless. In other words, you won't constrict and contract and stop and circumscribe yourself to a certain type of experience and reject others, but you will flow with life, seeing it as an objective observer, as eyes, if you will. Eyes floating in the cosmos, if you will. Whatever imagery works for you. But in that state, you're flowing in the flow of life itself. So fearlessness does not mean the absence of fear. True fearlessness completely transcends fear. Fear, again, is false evidence appearing real. So we question so many things in this world, but very seldom do we question what we fear. Think about it. When was it the last time you addressed a fear you had and you questioned it? Come on, fear. You know, what is it? Present your evidence. You'll find when you look at fear, just like the boogeyman in the closet, when you look at what's there, you can't find any form because fear is an imaginary state in the mind. It has no form. In fact, it's your mind and your imagination that projects the form that fear has. Like, you know, when you have a dream and you imagine something is chasing you and you turn and look and it dissolves and it becomes something else and then that dissolves and becomes something else. You can't hold that face of fear steady. And the minute you stop in that dream and confront it, you'll find that it just kind of fizzles out and dissolves right in front of you because it's simply a conjuration of the astral body. So it is altogether different and much higher to transcend fear than merely to think of removing fear, which is really an exercise in futility. Fear is a momentary experience. It comes and it goes, and the less energy you put into it, other than to see it for what it is, an illusion, the better. For example, I had this happen to me when I was in India, where they have a lot of snakes, where I used to stay in the ashram. And one night I was walking back to the dormitory, and I stepped on something in the dark, and I saw it was coiled, and for a moment I was afraid that it was a snake. Now, I'm not particularly afraid of snakes, but then by the same token, who wants to step on one in the dark? So I froze in case it was a snake so that it, you know, wouldn't strike me. I froze in place, and then gradually as my eyes accustomed to the dark, I saw it was a piece of rope. And I thought, how many times have I heard that story that Sai Baba had told of how we mistake in this life things for what they're not, only to find out that it was an illusion that we had conjured in our mind, a threat and a danger, which in fact didn't exist. So I think that's a really good example of how we will see things in the dark through our fear that don't really exist. So many things we see on the media today that cause people intense fear are not, in fact, in existence. They're simply concepts or theories or beliefs that people have generated a lot of energy of fear around. But when you stop to look at it, there's nothing there. There's no substance. There's only imagination. If we're going to be free, if we're going to step into the heritage which is ours as self-realized, self-actualized, and self-directed, self-mastered beings, at some point we need to take charge of what we place energy with and make a solid commitment to place energy only with that which we would have in our life, in our experiential reality. And we're going to learn to let go psychic consciousness, social consciousness, the media and pop culture consciousness, all of the fear-based theories that are bound out there. We're going to learn to let them all go and realize that we are under no law but God's. And the only law of God is love. And do what thou wilt. Because love is the fulfilling and the transcending of all the laws. And in that, you learn to live in that fearlessness that comes from knowing the truth, which sets you free. So freedom and fearlessness walk hand in hand. So fear is only a delusion created by the mind. Lack of fear is also a delusion created by the mind, which comes from mistaking one thing for another. And again, the mistaking of one thing for another is what leads to fear. And recognizing the mistake and rectifying it leads to the removal of that fear. But true fearlessness is not associated, actually, with fear or the removal of fear, because fearlessness is the permanent state where there is no question of even experiencing fear. So you're not concerned with either identifying the fear or removing the fear. For example, people here in the West spend so much money going to psychiatrists and therapists and psychologists and so forth to find the cause of their fear. But which one of these people, after you're spending hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars, ever tells you at the get-go, your only problem is that you're seeing something that's not real? Wake up. It's not real. But no, they don't say that. They will make you go back to wherever the fear is and revisit it and then find fancy names to cover it and give them an excuse to have you come back for another session. These are all absolutely pointless wastes of time. And, you know, if you keep looking at fear as if it had any kind of reality, you're actually holding it in place. Haven't you heard the phrase, what you resist persists? So the only answer is to awaken to the truth. Now, when you are imbued with fearlessness, you are constantly and continually aware of your own reality. And that reality is limitless, free, flowing, life itself, consciousness, and conscious awareness that you are that flow of life. You are that eternal being. You are the eyes floating in space. However you want to visualize that, you are the thistle down. But you are divine, and you're all-pervasive, and there's nowhere you're not, and nothing you're not, and nothing is denied you when you move into the state of owning yourself and occupying the totality of your beingness as much as you can, because it's an eternal expansion. So you should not even consider this quality of fearlessness as just the absence of fear. But when you are truly fearless, you will not be aware of any second entity at all. You only have fear when there exists a second object who evokes the fear in you. So as I have spoken on many shows, the whole concept of separate consciousness and fear arose the very second we bought into duality. The very second we bought into the fearful thought that we were separate from the all that is, fear was born. And another word for fear is the false self, false evidence appearing real. So fearlessness refers to non-duality, where there can be no two, but there's always just one. Only in the state of non-duality will you experience the state of true fearlessness. Now, when you forget your true self, you will suffer from fear. When you remember only the world and you forget God, you will suffer from fear. And when you're filled with desires and attachments, you will also suffer from fear. When you are deluded by objects, you will suffer from fear. But on the other hand, when you're immersed in the transcendental reality, you will experience being totally free from fear, and you will never be afraid of anything. Then you can truly say that you are fearlessly flowing with life. So you really don't have to develop any further your vision of the phenomenal world. It's enough already how many billions of lifetimes have we had to experience the phenomenal world? Just because we don't remember it is not important. In fact, that's grace that you don't remember the past. That way you can really focus on the present moment. But, you know, forget already trying to expand your awareness of the transient, the impermanent, and the illusory world, because then you're wasting the time, which in this cycle is for the purpose of full awakening and enlightenment. That's simply the age and the stage and the cycle of life that we're on in this galaxy at this time. It's time to wake up. So it's time to disengage from the charade and the role play and awaken to your eternal identity and to step free of fear. So you need only to develop the vision of the One existing everywhere in and as everything and everyone. You see the One, the One, the One, the One, however it works for you to do that. I've tried in my process of enlightenment every kind of a mock-up and imagination you can imagine to get to the place where I recognized there was only one in the many as the many. And finally, at one point, it just became second nature for me to see the unified vision. And it will for you, too. It just depends on how much you want it. Like anything, you know, if you want it enough, you're going to pay the price for it. And the price for the unified vision is to begin to discipline that mind, that monkey mind that goes out everywhere with all kinds of curiosity and time-wasting pastimes and distractions that isn't in alignment with what you want to do. You need to really ask yourself, does this suit the goal that I have for my life? Is this occupation? Is this interest? Is this pastime? Is this topic that I'm spending so much time with, is it worth the time and energy and effort? And is it goal-fitting? These are things that, in all practicality, we really need to look at if we're going to attain anything great in this lifetime. So, if you know the unified vision, and if you remember it, then you will be not constantly subjected to this cycling between fear and trying to remove it. Because again, everything you try to do becomes trying. And you get tired from being so trying and making your life so trying. So quit trying and simply be that which is the truth. That's the easiest thing in the world, to be yourself. It's really trying and tiring to try to hold yourself separate from that which is, from the true life. And that life is eternal, it's all pervasive, and it has nothing to do with form. Form is simply a means for life to dance and express itself in relational patterns. But in highest truth, life cannot be fettered by form. It lives apart from form, even though it indwells all form. It is always free, though it also can experience itself as the indweller. So it's that which is and that which isn't at the same time, which is that sounds like doublespeak, but that's the way you begin to look at life. You begin to see all things. It's like, yes, I am that. No, I am not that. I am neither that, nor am I not that. I am that which is both and neither. I am that I am. So you are able to identify with everything without getting caught and snagged in it. And that's living as the Trinitized consciousness that we call the illumined self, the illumined mind, and the illumined personality that lives in this world. And yet while it lives in the world, knows the eternal life, which it truly is and lives as. So, as long as we have a deluded perspective that the world is real and made up of separate objects, and that we're a body of a certain size and age and appearance and gender and so forth, to that degree will your vision be clouded and will you be subject to fear? But when you realize the truth of the unity of the whole of creation, you will be forever fearless from that point on. And persons like you, you of the ground crew, you of the emissaries from the celestial realms, can become wise and live above fear in that state of fearlessness. Now, it's important that the ground crew become spiritually enlightened now, because if you don't, you'll end up like Shakespeare and Leonardo da Vinci as earthbound avatars. I mentioned that they had incarnated, but they had become overly identified with their life and their expression to where they became caught in the reincarnational current of Earth and the karmic law. Once you get sucked into those whirls of energy, which are states of consciousness, it's very hard to extricate yourself. Nowadays, it's fairly easy for the simple reason we have all of the hierarchy and masters from past and present and back in time from the future working specifically for the enlightenment and lifting of human consciousness. Never before has there been such a wind at our back as we have now. And therefore, we need to really take advantage of this lifetime, which I would say has only the purpose of enlightenment. Really, there's nothing else that's going on that you need to be concerned with now. You've been there, done that, bought the beanie, and everything that goes with the karma dramas of the past. You really don't need to waste time on that. But what you do need is to make a real solid commitment to whatever your goal is. If it's spiritual enlightenment, then really prioritize that and make time for it. And let that be your study. Let that be your meditation. Let that be your path. Let that be your day by day, moment by moment, self-directed discipline that you bring yourself forward into each day. And as you do that, you'll find that you'll have so much grace that grace itself will shorten the time and also maximize the experiences of your many, many lifetimes. It's like all of the good in your chalice that's been gathered as your chalice of attainment will come to stand with you in this, the quintessential, the great crescendo of all of your lifetimes is now. So this is the time to really take yourself in hand and begin to consciously place yourself in that position that, or allow God to place you in that position, which He will always allow, so that you can fulfill your highest destiny. So one of the things you'll need to do is to control your tendency to look outwards towards physical objects and towards your body and its behavior and its deeds, and towards your mind and its thoughts and belief systems and feelings. And instead, develop the inward vision of your sacred self. And this is the true vision, which we could call the integral or the homogenized vision. So it's important to turn your vision towards God. And as you do, you will see yourself. As Jesus said, when your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. And what he means is when you turn your vision inward to the Christ consciousness chakra, which is the sixth chakra between your eyebrows, when you make that eye single, in other words, when you turn within and you see that single eye appear in your inner gaze, that is God looking back at you. That is also the first indication that you are homeward bound and reincarnation is probably not a viable option for you again. You are on your way home. So those of you that have had the vision of the inner eye, consider yourselves incredibly blessed. And if you haven't had that vision, don't make yourself wrong, because maybe you had it in another lifetime. Maybe you don't need that again. So again, don't lay out conditions for your free flow with life. Let it be what it's going to be. Take the metaphor of the dandelion puff floating on the wind. What control and direction does it have? What manipulation is prevalent in its expression? It's simply surrendered. Surrendered. So when you acquire this divine vision, this Devadrishti, this divine inward focus, you will be kept forever in the grace of God, which is like the wind of heaven. It flows you. And when you renounce your egocentric beliefs and your own strength and your own abilities physically and mentally, you begin to flow with God's grace. And the more you focus on God, the more your eye becomes single, the more your whole body is filled with life and light, and you move into that eternal life that Jesus spoke of when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father save by me. He was speaking about that single Christ-conscious vision. When you're focused in that soul center, in the Christ-consciousness center, in that place between your eyebrows, which is the doorway into the inner realms of the kingdom of heaven, when your eye is single, when you keep yourself focused there, you live above the law of karma, and you are set free through grace. This is the real meaning of soul transcendence, and living above the world, and above fear, and above all of the things that would cause you to contract and live a small and human and egocentric life. When you move into that doorway, which is between your eyebrows, that is the way, that is the truth, that is the life, that is called also the Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, the movement of spiritual inner awareness that takes you inward and onward, so that you live a transcendental life, even while you're walking in the physical, even while you're fulfilling your daily activities. You live as a Jiva Mukta, as a free soul, as an enlightened person. So you're not trying to leave, quote-quote, the world. You're moving beyond and transcending the world view, which has been based upon limitation and false identity. And the more we see the fear and worry and stress levels of humanity increase, the more we are called to live at a way and at a level that is worry-free, fear-free, and stress-free. Because we have to set that pattern in place for humanity. We are the emissaries that have come to walk and embody a whole different way of living. Now, you can still do your job, you can still raise your children, you can still be a dutiful spouse, you can still be a member of your church or your whatever it is you belong to, you can still do whatever it is. The whole transcendental life is lived inside yourself. You don't have to even speak about it. Nobody even needs to know about it. Oh, they will know if they also are living a transcendental life, because they'll recognize that you are in the world, but you're not of it. And one of the things that really reveals to the world that you're in it and not of it is that you laugh a lot. But it's not that unconscious laugh that people use. Sometimes they'll use humor to kind of put a scaffolding of energy around them so nobody gets too close. No, not that kind of laughter. but the joyous laughter of a child that is completely carefree and completely confident that all is well. That simple, childlike innocence and joy and radiance and that deep peace that comes when you know that you know that you know who you are, where you come from, where you're going. And when I say where you come from, I'm not talking about a planet. I'm not talking about you as some person from the past. We've got to transcend this whole idea of being from a place other than the all that is, or being an identity, anything less than the all that is within all identity. The parking places that we have used to psychically define ourselves and metaphysically define ourselves, that's part of the stuff that's going to need to be jettisoned. All the metaphysical storylines, all the theories, the religious and political and ideological theories that we've used to explain and define our beingness, they've all got to go. They've all got to go. At some point, everything but the truth needs to be jettisoned. Now, you can use things. You can use things kind of like a thorn can be used to remove another thorn. And in that sense, we could use self-deception, false identity, and distraction as springboards to self-realization, enlightenment, and conscious awareness. I really believe it's practical to start where you are with the stage that you find yourself in, but not to stay there. Because the spiritual life is always going to be more and next. I don't care how high you think you are, or who you think you are, or what you think you're all about, there's always your next step. And your challenge in the spiritual life is always to jettison what's present and move to what's next once you've outgrown it. How can you tell you've outgrown it? It gets really boring to keep doing the same old ritual day after day, year after year, and not have any transformation of consciousness. And sometimes you're using faulty tools to do what you want to do. They're not sufficient to the task. So you have to be willing to look at what's not working and jettison it. Get out of it. Leave it. If you're not enlightened with what you have been practicing, it's not doing it. So try another approach. Try something else. But ask from the innermost part of your heart. Ask the universe. Ask your inner master. Ask Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the traveler within you. To show you what you can let go of now, what you no longer need, and to assist you to move forward fearlessly into whatever is next, bearing in mind it's always going to be an unknown. Spirituality is totally accessed through faith. You won't get anything without faith spiritually, because everything you see in the objective world is an illusion that at some point must be transcended. And everything that you really want that's eternal is going to be invisible to you at this level. In fact, even your inner life, you must not become attached to seeing things, to seeing colors, to even hearing sounds. I know in the beginning you see color and you hear sound and you have visions and you have dreams and you have symbols. But those are all in the lower phenomenal levels. Once you get into the deeper, deeper, deeper waters of the divine realms, you begin to see and hear and experience less and less phenomenally. It begins to move into a state of presence. Presence. See if you can become aware of yourself as presence, or God. I was sitting the other day, and I thought, God is, to me, God is that sense of all-pervasive presence that's just, it just searches you up in a stillness so profound that you can scarcely breathe. In fact, you find yourself not breathing for long periods of time because you completely exit the body and the phenomenal state of what you think life is into the greater life. You simply are in all-pervasive isness. That's the only thing I can use to describe the state I'm in lately is. I'm in the is. Not even I'm in. It's just is. The is. And that's really all I can say about it. Except it has the most awesome peace. The most absolutely all-embracive sense of solid core security. It has nothing to do with anything at all. So notice where you are, because when you notice where you are, then when you face it, and you know, if you're really caught in illusion and body consciousness and really running your karma drama, I mean, it's not about making yourself right or wrong. Just notice that what you're doing is an exercise that maybe it's time to let go of that. You know, maybe there's a next level for you here. Maybe the whole karma drama is about realizing how silly it is and saying, you know what, I stepped out of this karma drama. I'm just not there anymore. See ya. Bye. That could be a relationship. That could be a job. That could be whatever. But see, whatever it is your friend coming to let you know what, you are so done here and you are so out of here, and just go with peace and realize that the place you're in makes space for you. It doesn't try to boot you out and extricate you. Unfinished business will. But the place that is your next step will embrace you. And you will have that feeling of, ah, yeah, this is the right potting soil for me right now. But, keep moving inwardly. Don't sit on your laurels inside yourself and keep trying to replicate the same experience. Sometimes people want a theory, which if they just do this particular ritual or say this particular mantra or do this particular thing in their body or their mind or their emotions, then they can predict and control and manifest the same experience over and over again. Get this and get it clearly. You can never manipulate the spirit of God. It's absolutely not subject to you. Jesus described it like the wind. You never can tell where it's going to blow or where it comes from. It blows where it will and however it will. And God is like that. Spirit is like that. And you have no control. Back to the thistle down again. Really use that as your metaphor for flowing with the flow of life and freeless, all-embracing beingness, and allow the winds of heaven to just blow you wherever it will, however it will. And don't be attached. Don't be attached. You don't even know what you want. Why be attached to stuff that at some point is destined to decay and crumble and return to dust? Let it go. Be free so that you can have new experiences and new things come into your life. If you're so filled up with what you know and what you have, you don't have any room for new goodies. So let it all go. Let it all be free in your life. And know that what's for you, it'll find you. It'll stay with you as long as it's supposed to. You know, you can be free with it. Just don't sweat the small stuff on your way to the grandeur of the all that is. So it's important, I think, to face that which is in your life. If you have a fear, if you have a worry, you'll find that 99% of the time it's because you're trying to avoid confronting it. You're not looking at it. For example, the biggest fear, and Jesus says also the biggest illusion, is death. Death is kind of a joke because it doesn't exist, and yet, my gosh, we have such a culture of death. And as much as we're fascinated with it, the fascination is all based on fear and horror. And it's amazing how body consciousness and how involved with fear and the fear of death the whole thing of the media are. I couldn't find a single thing on television the other night that didn't involve the theme of death. People killing people, hurting people, abusing people, threatening people, and other people trying to avoid that. After a while, I just started to laugh. It was just so goofy. And I put on a really nice Netflix inspiring video that had to do with consciousness, and I was happy as a clam because there was absolutely no intelligent life whatsoever depicted on the television. And I've chosen not to spend time watching worthless things on television or listening to worthless talk on television, and to instead keep company with enlightened beings or books written by enlightened beings, or to go into my own enlightened beingness and luxuriate in the bliss that's within my own inner citadel of consciousness. And I suggest you do the same, because if you keep feeding yourself with all of the pop culture gunk, it's, again, conditioning your mind to see through falsehood, through illusion, through deception, and through avoidance of confronting that which is true and real. And remember that falsehood likes to keep falsehood going, because that's how falsehood maintains its semblance of appearances, by engendering people who will buy into it and keep feeding and fostering the fear-based thought forms. So the more we can abstract ourselves and our attention from the things that most people are so worried and afraid of, the more we will be serving the higher divine purpose and our mission. So these are all useful things that we can begin to do. First of all, learn to sit still. The Zen masters and the Taoists and the Qigong masters all say that an hour a day in which you sit in absolute silence will regenerate your whole health and guarantee vibrant health and a healthy nervous system. Second, conserve the energy of your speech. Practice listening more and observing. And if it isn't true, positive, and necessary, zip it. Excess speech not only depletes the energy that you need for self-realization, it also ages the body and causes senility. So, again, successful people have what they have in their life because they were willing to make that their number one focus and priority. So these are areas that you can begin to refine yourself in. You might want to consider getting rid of your cell phone so that you're not constantly distracted by having to deal with your environment and people that place demands on you. You might want to get rid of your headsets and the continual input of noise and music and so forth, and just enjoy the silence of your own beingness. You might want to practice simplifying your life as much as you possibly can, and becoming content with what you have, and reduce your desires to keep acquiring more and more things, which then you have to be concerned with preserving and protecting and maintaining and paying for them. So these are all ways you can begin to loosen up and free your consciousness to have less and less it has to attend to in this material world. And the minute you cease chasing after objects of desire, in that same instant you will experience contentment and the fullness of your own being. So I hope these have been some practical suggestions for you, because without practical application of some of these things, you don't have the fruit that you desire. And the main reason you don't have the fruit you desire is because you're barking up the wrong tree. You're looking for things where they can't be found. So begin to look where they can be found and claim the price. So allowing your life to be carried like a leaf upon the winds of grace, that sweet breeze of the Holy Spirit or Jesus or Abba or Baba, carefree of all concern, allowing the Lord to place you as he knows is best, allowing him to be your all in all, and resting 100% in His divine care, provision, protection, and love. That is the sweetest life possible. And with such an altitude of attitude, you'll find all stress and worry departs from your life, and with it also all dis-ease. So, peace, pace, shanti, salam, shalom will descend upon you, and you'll truly see that everything is as it needs to be for as long as it needs to be, until eventually all you will see and experience is the love that you are. And earth will hold no more lessons for you to be learned, and you will transcend permanently into the all that is. So, let's just sing Shanti as we go out. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace and blessings.